This church has been blessed with a special anointing to just bless Israel, and it should be something that every Christian should do. And so I'm really excited to share with you guys on my first Israel Awareness Day. I'm excited to serve with a bunch of you tonight as we help out with various things, and it's going to be a good day. All right. We are going to start in Isaiah 52:13. So get to Isaiah 52:13. Has everyone filled out an information card? I know I haven't. You filled out six information cards? Yeah, I know. I'm trying to make sure we get up to date on all of our attendance information and all the information we have for you guys. So if you have not filled one out, throw a hand up real quick. Anybody? Nobody? Good. That means everybody's doing their job back there. Props to Hannah. Props to... Where's Brooke? Good job, Brooke. All right, Isaiah 52:13. Who's there? Say there. Who's not there? I'm not there, so I need to get there. Isaiah. 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. We're moving on to chapter 53. Who has believed our report, and whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. It goes on and continues to describe what? What is this describing here in Isaiah? That's right. It's describing Jesus' crucifixion. You know what's surprising? Isaiah wasn't written at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. It was written way before. It was written before crucifixion was even invented as a process to execute someone. We're going to talk about some prophecies in the Bible, from the history of the Bible. And the next one we're going to look at is Isaiah 9:7. So go backwards. If you're at 52, you need to go to the left side of your Bible. And that says, yes, on your left. But stay in the same book. Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This right here is prophesying that Jesus was going to come, or the Messiah was going to come, from the line of David. It was fulfilled here in Luke 1:32 through 33. And it says, then the angel said to her, who's her? Good, you guys read your Bibles, I'm happy. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. All right, these are just a couple of prophecies in Scripture of the coming Messiah, of Jesus' coming. And the odds of Jesus fulfilling eight prophecies were this. It was like this. Take a bunch of silver dollars, like I think it's 10 to the 17th power. So that's like 10 with 17 zeros after it. I don't know what that number comes out to be, but that's a big number. Yeah, so you take that, and you take that many silver dollars, and you place it, scatter it across the state of Texas, what it'll do is it'll have silver dollars 2 feet deep in the state of Texas. If you've never been to Texas or you've never seen Texas on the map, it is very large. It's actually the largest state in the lower 48. Obviously, Hawaii's not bigger than it, but Alaska is. Anyways, so you take silver dollars, this ridiculous amount of silver dollars, 2 feet deep in the state of Texas, you mark one silver dollar. Then you take someone, you take a man, could be a woman, it doesn't matter, and you blindfold them, and you say, go, find the silver dollar. That's the odds of Jesus fulfilling only 8 prophecies. He fulfilled over 200. Some would estimate over 300. So imagine those odds. It was not very likely for one man to fulfill all the things that Scripture said he was going to do. Hosea 2:23 says this, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who is not my beloved. This was foreshadowing the Gentile coming into relationship with Christ, with God. Let me get a couple of, I guess, words that I want you guys to make sure you know what they mean. Gentile means what?
Not Jew.
That was good. Jewish, or Israel is the Jewish people. All right, glad we got that out of the way. You guys seem to know quite a bit. So Gentile would be us, correct? We are Gentiles, unless you're Jewish. Sorry, Ari. That's okay. Blessings. Half? So like Samaritan. Well, Samaritan was mixed. That's why they were looked down upon. This is important, though. I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who was not my beloved. John 4 is where Jesus fulfills this prophecy, at least partially. He comes to the Samaritan woman at the well. This lady, she's chilling, getting water. And then Jesus shows up. She's Samaritan. Jesus is a Jew. And Jesus is not only a Jew. He is a rabbi. So he's a very important Jew. And Jews and Samaritans didn't hang out. They didn't, like, get together and do Sabbath together. It was just frowned upon. Jews were just of a higher class than Samaritans. And Gentiles were even lower than that. So Jesus comes to the well and asks her for some water. And her response was, what are you doing? Like, why are you asking me for water? We don't, like, talk to each other. You're Jewish. I'm a Samaritan woman. And it goes on, and Jesus ends up basically presenting the gospel to her in of himself. He explains to her that he is the Messiah after he basically reads her mail, because she was kind of sleeping around, had more than one husband. But that's besides the point. So Jesus forgives her of her sins and then sends her out. And she goes and tells a bunch of people, and they come back and want to see Jesus. All right, so Samaritan, half Jew. Matthew 28:19, Jesus told the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. This is the completion of the full prophecy that the Gentile was going to come into Christ. All nations. That's you guys. And then we got Samaritan Ari on the front row. I love you, Ari. You know that, right? Okay. Turn with me now to Romans 9:30. God came to the Jewish people first as he came to Abraham, and obviously Jesus was Jewish, and by his descent through his parents, that's what made him Jewish. Joseph was of the line of David. They were, Mary and Joseph were Jewish, so he was a Jew. All right. So God came, sent Jesus to the Jewish people first. We talk about this all the time. We talk about how God sent the gospel to the Jewish people first. He sent Jesus to the Jew first. What was the Jewish response to Jesus, though? No bueno. Good. That might be the Spanish response. not good. Yes, they essentially missed it. They didn't fully get who Jesus was. The Jewish nation was looking for someone who was going to sit on a physical throne and kind of lead them out of this oppression from the Roman Empire that was ruling over them at the time. And that's not what Jesus did. He was coming for a different kingdom. All right, Romans 9:30. We're going to talk about the present condition of Israel. And it says, "What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law." And it says it like this in the Message. How can we sum this up? All those people who didn't seem interested in what God was doing actually embraced what God was doing as he straightened out their lives. And Israel, who seemed so interested in reading and talking about what God was doing, missed it. How could they miss it? Because instead of trusting God, they took over. They were absorbed in what they themselves were doing. They were so absorbed in their God projects that they didn't notice God right in front of them. Like a huge rock in the middle of the road, and so they stumbled into him and went sprawling. So what we're looking at here is Israel rejected Jesus. And because of that, God opened up salvation to us, the Gentiles, the Samaritan. Yes, you're Jewish. I love you. Okay. Israel, who would receive? God opened up salvation to us, to anyone who would receive him. So us, the Gentile. Israel, their present fall is a curse to Israel, but a blessing to the world, to the Gentile. We're moving to Romans 10, verse 1 now, and it says here, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." A lot of you who have been to Israel have seen this. You've seen their passion at the wall, their interceding, their prayer, the way they conduct themselves in things like Sabbath. And just all the things that they do. It's amazing how passionate they are about God. But unfortunately, there is blinders over their eyes. They have not recognized Jesus as God. There are many Jews who have come to Christ. There are many Jews who have recognize Jesus and our Messianic Jews, and it's awesome, great for them. But it's amazing to me to see and to hear about how passionate Israel is about God, yet they're not, they don't know his fullness. They only know a portion of him. They only know him as God of Israel. They don't know that he sent a physical man to earth as Jesus to be God. Moving on, it says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much will be their fullness?" I want to stop right there. If they have this amazing passion, this amazing zeal for God, imagine how great, how amazingly powerful. They've been this huge blessing to the world. We talked about it last week, just, you know, texting. We got texting from them, in case you guys weren't here last week. That's Israel came up with texting. And so things like that, you know, their military might, their Nobel Peace Prize winners, just, they've been a huge blessing to the earth. Their number one export is food, correct? Yes. I believe so. I'm looking at you. I'm trusting you. You just nodded your head, so okay. All right. I believe their number one export is food, but they are just a huge blessing to the earth. And imagine this. Imagine if they are that huge of a blessing, that God has just blessed them so much, and they haven't even recognized the fullness of God being Christ Jesus as a Savior. Imagine how great, how amazing they will be as a blessing to the earth when they do recognize Jesus as Lord, as God. I don't know, that just, it spoke to me. Moving along, it says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them, for if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" Paul is saying here, like, not that Israel has, because they, you know, first rejected Jesus, that they're completely cut off. He's saying quite the opposite. He's saying that they are a part of the body, just as we are a part of the body. My family, everyone here knows, I for the most part, that my family's divorced. 50% of the families probably in this room are divorced. That's just statistical reasoning. How many of you have stepbrothers, stepsisters? Quite a few. Well, in my family, at first, when my dad got remarried, I gained a stepbrother and a stepsister. It was not easy to accept them at first. It was not easy to want them to be a part of my family. And I was like, who are these people showing up in my house? I was like, it was weird. Much less a stepmom, which was crazy to me because, like, I'd known one mom my whole life. And over time, though, as I got to know them, I began to love them. I began to really appreciate them, as weird as they are. And Taylor will tell you that my stepbrother, my stepsister, they're kind of goofy. They're just out there. Taylor knows, though, too, because she has many step-siblings. How many siblings do you have? You don't know? That's a lot. So over time, I got to know them. I really started to appreciate them. And now I've reached a point where I'm actually able to call my stepmom, Mom. It's not weird to me. That might be weird for some of you. I'm not saying that you have to go home and call your stepmom or step-siblings Mom, especially brothers or sisters. That'd just be weird. But it's amazing that because my parents, you know, didn't get it right the first time. They clearly messed things up, went through the divorce. I'm not condoning divorce. There's reasons for divorce that are acceptable, and there's reasons for it not. But my parents missed it. Israel missed it. But as a result, I got a larger family. I had always wanted a brother. And out of my parents missing it, I was able to gain a larger family. We go down to, like, Taylor's family is the most functional, dysfunctional family I've ever seen in my life. Like, we go down to, when we lived in Texas, like, her mom came down to her dad's house, and, like, this was over Thanksgiving, and hung out with all of us at Thanksgiving, like, her mom, her stepmom, her dad, and all of her siblings and step-siblings. That's just weird. Like, but it works. Like, her mom would probably call her stepmom a good friend. It's amazing how God can reconcile a family. The Jewish nation is our family. They are one with us. We are united with them. Yes, they're different and a little goofy. I mean, they do different things, like, you know, Sabbath and stuff. That stuff's cool. There's so much revelation in some of that stuff. I want to talk to you about this. We have an opportunity. We often talk about how we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I think that is extremely, 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 extremely important. You know what else I find is extremely important? That we pray for the salvation of Israel, that they would come to know Jesus through what he did for us, the grace that he offered, that they will place their faith in him. We have an opportunity to pray for their salvation, to see them to come to know just who they are in their fullness. So I would encourage you guys, we talked about at CUFI, just different practical ways that we can be a blessing and pray for Israel, even if it means, like, I know a lot of you have been there, and maybe some of you are called to go and evangelize the Jewish nation. That's probably a calling on some of your lives. But those of us who are not called to that, those of us who are called to other things, business, teaching, there's a million things that you can be called to, and all of us are called to usually different things. We can pray, and we can bless Israel, and we can pray for their salvation and pray for the peace in that nation. And at CUFI, they talked about how you can put sticky notes or, you know, reminders in places that you're going to see, whether it's a mirror when you know, how many of you use a mirror when you get ready for in the morning? Girls who are not raising their hands right now are lying. I use a mirror in the morning when I get ready. We just moved into a new house, and it's got, like, all mirrors all throughout. It's uncomfortable. I can see myself from, like, 40 different angles. I'm like, I think I might be balding back here, but, or right here. I don't know. It's going away, probably. Anyways, we can put sticky notes in our mirror and say, you know, bless Israel today. If that means you just need to take 2 minutes right there as you're getting ready and go, you know what, God, I just bless Israel. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray for their salvation. I pray that they would come to know you. So be it. How many of you have a cell phone? This is not to make those of you who don't uncomfortable. You can put reminders in your phone to bless Israel. I think the lady at CUFI, she, every day at noon, a timer goes off and says, bless Israel, and she just takes time to do that. It was really challenging to me, and I think that's something that I will probably start to do here in the short near future, probably right after service. I will, all 40 mirrors, I will put a sticky note on, and then I will mark in my phone to bless Israel. But those are just some practical ways that we can bless Israel. How many of us know Jesus is returning? That's right, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a whole bride. He's coming back for not only a pure bride, but he's coming back for a whole bride. He's coming back for you and I and Israel. He's coming back for all of us. Ephesians 4:4-6 says this, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in a hope of your calling, one Lord, faith, and baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Both Jew and Gentile make up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not limited to church, to a church building. That is not the body of Christ. Church is every believer throughout the entire world. And Israel's included in that. How awesome is it that we have an opportunity as Gentiles to bring God to the people who brought us God. We have to inherit Jesus now so that he can inherit us when he comes back. Our inheritance is Jesus. Jesus' inheritance is us and all of Israel. He gets us as an inheritance for what he did for us on the cross, to take our sin away. That's pretty amazing. And all that we have to do in return to reap the benefits of all that he did is inherit him and accept him. And that's just amazing to me. It's a free gift. Finally, what I want you guys to do this week, I want you guys to do a couple of things. I want you to take some time and pray for the salvation of Israel. And then I also want you to place some reminders in your phone, sticky note, however you're going to remember to bless Israel every single day. Just make it a part of your day. It's huge. It's a blessing to bless Israel. When we bless them, we'll reap a blessing as a result. I know I shared with you guys last week that sometimes I just give $5 to people who are Jewish because I know that there will be a blessing. I don't have any cash, sorry. But just take some time, guys, this week and bless Israel. Pray for their salvation. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm going to pray, and we'll close, and you guys will be dismissed, okay? Lord, I just thank you for every student in this room. I thank you for Israel. I thank you for every person that you have given to us, Lord. We bless Israel as a group right now, Lord. We speak blessing over them. We speak prosperity. We speak just newfound love from nations that seem to not love them before. Lord, we are going to set aside some time to bless them this week. And Lord, I pray that you would just remind every student in the room to do so. Just bring it up when they're least thinking about it. Just be like, hey, you should bless Israel today. Lord, we are just so happy, so glad for all that you have done for us. And I just ask that you would bless each student as they go out from here, as many of these students go and perform tonight at the Israel Awareness Day event. Pray that you just give them strength, as I know a lot of them are tired from having to work so hard to prepare for this. Lord, I just ask for a peace among our students as they go throughout their week, as they have to face things from school to friends, that you would just be with them and walk with them in their daily lives. Lord, we bless you and we bless Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, you are dismissed.